Take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 6. John, the 6th chapter. John chapter 6 and verse 27 will be our text. Look at a couple of other verses in this chapter, but John chapter 6 verse 27 will be our text. The title of the message, Christ, our enduring bread. Christ, our enduring bread. John chapter 6 and verse 27, the Lord Jesus Christ says this, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for Him hath God the Father sealed." Now here, the Lord Jesus Christ, as was common in most all of His preaching, if you'll take every instance that the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching or teaching to a multitude, usually He was using some physical thing that they can relate to. He was using some physical thing that was around them at that time. Remember the lilies. I can imagine when He talked about the lilies of the field that there was a lily right there at His hand, and He could visually see it. We think about the man building his house on the sand and on the rock. They knew what that was. When He talked about casting seed, these were a farming people. They knew what that meant. And when He was talking about shepherds and sheep, that was something very common to them. And this is no different here. Here, the Lord takes a recent event, a recent occurrence in the lives of these people, and He uses it for a message. He uses it for an opportunity to preach Himself, to preach the gospel concerning Himself. These people were the 5,000 that just were fed at the beginning of this chapter. The Lord Jesus Christ, seeing the multitude, had compassion on them, and He sat them down and He fed them with just a few loaves and a few fishes. And they took up several baskets full, and they were filled. They didn't just eat one little piece of bread. They were filled. They were so their gut was about to be. You ever ate like that? That your gut is about to bust? These people were relaxing in that grass and they were saying, "Oh, it's good. It's good." And so the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing their thoughts, knowing that these are not His sheep, He then turns and He gets into the boat. And He gets His disciples into the boat. He said, "You go on over the other side and I'll be there in a little while." He went up to the mountain and prayed. In the middle of the night, it was when He walked across the sea. And they saw Him and they were scared. You remember that story. And how then, now then that they're on the other side, they've made it over to the other side. And the people woke up next morning and they said, "Hey, where'd our meal ticket go? Where did He go?" And He said, "They went to the other side." "Well, let's go get Him. Let's go get Him." And so multitude of them, maybe all 5,000 of them, I don't know. They hopped a boat, cut across the sea, and they found Him. They found Him. They said, "Where'd you go? Where'd you go?" Well, He said, "I say unto you, you seek Me not because you saw the miracle. You seek Me because you ate and your bellies were fat." That's what He said. He said, "You sought Me because you want more physical bread." And this is the instant where the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Don't labor. Don't labor for the bread, the meat that perisheth." Now, 5 points concerning this message this morning. 5 points that I want us to see concerning this Lord, the Lord Jesus, as the bread that endureth. The first thing I want us to see is the meat that's perishing. The second thing, the meat that endureth. The third is when Jesus said in the other verse in the text, He says, "He that cometh to Me shall never hunger." What is it to never hunger? If you partake of this bread, then what is it not to hunger? And number four, what is it to eat this bread? And number five, how do we eat this bread? How is it possible to eat this bread? Okay? I'm going to try to get these in. First of all, the perishing meat. The perishing meat. Jesus said, labor not for the meat that perisheth. little Bible reading. This will help you in your Bible reading. And I'm going to mention this later on. When you see the word ETH, you know it's present perfect tense. In other words, that it perished, it is perishing, and it shall perish. Labor not for the meat that is continually ever perishing, ever dying. All men labor for meat to satisfy the hunger that is in their heart. We all by nature are born with a void in our hearts. We by nature seek a people or seek things of this life to fill the emptiness inside of us. God illustrates this in Genesis when He says this, "The earth was without form and void." You know who that represents? Every one of us by nature. Every man by nature has a void in his heart. It is an emptiness that he feels. He yearns for something to fill the gap, the void that's in his heart. He may seek it through education. He may seek it through work. He may seek it through his family. He may seek it through religion. But he's seeking something. All men are seeking something to fill the emptiness in themselves. All men by nature are. If you're without Christ this morning, then you are like the crowd that followed Jesus. They were coming to Him for not for spiritual matters, but they were seeking physical food. They were seeking something physical from Him. Jesus said, "You didn't seek Me because you saw the miracles, because your bellies were full." Many today are seeking Jesus. You know, there are more people in church today than there are all year in any of the major sporting events in this world. Today. There are more people on one Sunday to attend church than there are that attend all of the football games in the United States. That's a lot of people. And you ask them, "What are you seeking?" "Oh, I want to see Jesus. I want Jesus." What do you want Him for? What are you here for today? Did you come to have your ears tickled with something? Something new? Something novel? Many people come to Jesus for many different reasons. Marriage problems. You talk about people and they ask, "Do you have marriage counseling? Do you have a social group?" They come for social problems. You know, "Do you have a singles group? Or do you have a child's group? Or a young adult's group?" Many come to church for financial problems. When they're in financial straits, they come and ask for Jesus. When they're sick, they come and ask for Jesus. Many of you come for parental reasons. My mom and dad made me come. My children are here for those reasons. They're here because I made them come. So they have a different set of problems. And I know all these things are needful. I know that all these things bring us great pain in this life. But no matter how hard you try to hold on to the things of this life, they will not fill the void. They will not fill the emptiness in your heart. They will not do it. The things of this life are the meat that is perishing. Labor not, Christ says. Don't spend all your time and energy focusing and seeking after that which is perishing. The things or people that we try to use to fill that void never do. They only make the void bigger. It's like a black hole. Scientists tell us that when a black hole, it absorbs everything in its path and it never gets full, it only gets bigger. It only gets bigger. And that's what our heart is. Isaiah 55, verse 1 and 2, God says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth." God says to you that are seeking perishing things to satisfy the hunger of your soul, "Ho, stop, freeze, don't move, listen to Me." That's what God says. Ho, everyone that's thirsty, everyone that has a void, listen. Hear God. Come. Come to the waters. You that hath no money, come and buy and eat. Come, yea, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend your money for that which is not bread, God says, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Have your sins satisfied you? Are you full? You done with them? Have you had enough? Or do you still long for more? And when you get whatever it is you want, know this, there'll be something else. There'll be something else, and your whole and your heart will be bigger than it was when you first started. Why? Because the meat is perishing. It doesn't last. The pleasures of life do not last. They're perishing. They're empty and they're vain. Can you not see your labor for these things of this life are vain and empty? Can you not see that the things of this life will not satisfy you, but only increase your lust for them? Seek not Jesus because of the bread, my friends. Don't seek Him for the things of your body or your relationship. My friend, you must seek Him for salvation. This is the main reason. Don't seek Him for the things of the life or the circumstances or what you can get out of Him. Labor not in religion to consume it upon your own lust, but rather labor, seek, engage yourself in looking for that meat which endures. That's my second point. The meat that endures. The meat that endures. Jesus here preaches the gospel. He says first that sin and the world will not satisfy. They will not satisfy. Therefore, don't labor in them. Don't look for it. Look for Christ. What did Christ say in Matthew's gospel? He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, these other things. God knows you have need of food. God knows you have need of clothes. God knows you have need of social interaction. God knows these things. Seek first Christ, the bread that endureth forever. The labor not for the meat that decays, and never, but labor for that which never decays. Jesus said the meat that I'm speaking of is one that lasts forever. This is spiritual food that Christ is speaking of because He is speaking of Himself. He says, you want the meat that endures? Here it is. He said, I'm it. I am the bread of life, Christ says in verse 35. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on Me shall never thirst. Jesus is the bread of life that satisfies the soul, the void, the emptiness of our hearts. He alone is the bread sent from the Father. He was sealed of the Father, anointed by the Father, by the Holy Spirit without measure to be the Messiah and Savior of men. He alone is the bread that lasts forever. Everything else is perishing. Isaiah 42 verse 1, God says this, behold, behold My servant. Behold My servant whom I have uphold, Mine elect in whom My soul delighteth. There's that ETH again. There it is again. God has always delighted in Christ. He is delighting in Christ, and He shall always delight in the Lord Jesus Christ. This bread lasts forever. This bread is satisfying. God says He's mine elect, the one I sealed. Behold, the Lamb of God, the Prince of Peace, the Son of Man, the Word of Life, the Bishop of our souls, the Shepherd, the Savior, the Redeemer, the Bread of Life. Behold Him. Look to Him. See Him. He is the bread that endures forever. The reason for our void in our heart is because of sin, isn't it? It's because when Adam sinned and his heart became void, so our hearts became void in him. Our hearts became void. They became void of seeking God, didn't they? When Adam sinned, he didn't seek God, he ran from God. And that's what you're doing if you're lost. You're running from God. You're not seeking after the bread that endures. You're running. Oh, but all of us who have sought Christ, we're seeking Him. We're looking for that bread and we long for that bread. Man was created to commune with God, wasn't he? God created man as the crowning image of His creation. He was the pinnacle of God's creation. Yet when man fell, he lost communion with God. And therefore, you and I have lost communion with God, which was our purpose. Everybody's saying, talking about purpose, purpose-driven life and purpose this, purpose that. You know what your purpose is? It is to commune with your God. That's what the purpose is in the heart. And that's why there's a void, because there's a lack of communion with God by nature. It's empty. And my friends, the only thing that could fill this void is Jesus Christ. He is the only way to fulfill the purpose of to commune with God. He's the only way to know God is through Christ. Jesus Christ came from God to bridge the gap and the great divide, to accomplish what was lacking in us. He, my friend, is the bread that lasts forever. He's the only plug that's going to fill that void. Anything else is just a dream. Anything else is just a dream. He was anointed of God to satisfy the law of God. He was anointed to satisfy the law of God. Jesus said this, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" Could any of you say that? Could I say that? You can convince me of sin this morning. I did to Kathy, didn't I, Kathy? I told you there's a donut over there. I told you there's a donut over there. You know, we can easily do that with each other. We can easily. We're so movable. We're so movable. Christ said, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" What did His enemies say about Him? The Jews. Never a man spake like this man. What did the Gentiles say about Him? Pilate said, "I find no fault in Him." What did Satan say? He had to flee, didn't he? There's no sin. There's no sin in Him. He's perfect. And that which is perfect endures forever. That which is sinless endures forever. So He, by His pleasing the Father, and that's what God's testimony about Him was it? "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Therefore, Jesus obeyed the law of God perfectly in word, in thought, and in deed. And He not only obeyed the law of God in our stead, but He also, His obedience to God in the suffering under the justice of God. Jesus Christ, who had no sin, who knew no sin in word, thought, or deed, Scripture tells us that He was made sin for us. If you ever figure that out, let me know. The sinless Son of God was made sin for us. God imputing our sins to Him so much so that His justice demanded payment from Christ. And what did God say about His sacrifice? It's enough. It's enough! How do you know it's enough? How can you tell me that He's the bread that endures forever? How do I know that He was satisfied God? The tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. If He didn't satisfy God, then He would still be there. Oh, but my friends, He is arisen from the grave, and He had left Himself many infallible witnesses. He is risen from the grave, and God has accepted His sacrifice. Therefore, He can say, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger. What is it then? Verse point three. What is it to hunger? What is it to never hunger? What does he mean by that? Look at that again in verse 35. Let's read it again. I am the bread of life, that bread which endureth forever. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. What is that? What is he saying? When you believe in Christ, you're never going to want to eat? I'm hungry now. I want to go. I'm going to go after this. We're going to go eat. I'm hungry. I'm going to go eat. That's not what he's talking about. What is he saying? He's saying, the one that eateth this bread shall never look at another bread to satisfy. He that eateth me, he that believeth in me, he that cometh to me, he shall never hunger for any other bread or have any desire for anything else to satisfy God's demands. I don't long for anything else but Christ, do you? He is the sum and substance of everything I am and everything I do. The things of this life that once occupied my time no longer are the point and purpose of my life. Sin was the purpose of my life at one time. Sin is what I tried to use to fill that void. But when I came to Christ, when I partook of this bread, I don't want anything else. I don't want anything else. I heard this poem sung a couple of weeks ago. John Newton wrote it. How tedious and tasteless the hours when Jesus no longer I see. Sweet prospects, sweet birds, and sweet flowers have all lost their sweetness to me. The midsummer sun shines but dim. The fields strive in vain to look gay. But when I am happy in Him, December is as pleasant as May. You see that anything without Christ is worthless. And no matter what circumstances I'm in with Christ, they're pleasant. They're pleasant. Why? Because He satisfies my soul. He satisfies my hunger. He is the only thing I want. And He's the only thing I need. Everything else is but bitter herbs. And Christ is the jewel of heaven to me. To those that eat this bread, they shall hunger for Him only. They shall seek Him first in all things. They shall see His worship, His cross, His flesh, His blood as the only thing to sustain them in this life. And the only thing that will present them faultless and blameless in the next. Is there anything you desire more than Christ? You that believe, I ask you, is there anything more precious than Christ? I heard a pastor talking about this the other week, and he said, somebody came up to him and said, Pastor, you preach Jesus all the time. You preach Him all the time. In Sunday school, you talk about Jesus. You talk about the cross. Then, you know, in the worship service, you talk about the cross. You talk about Christ. Can't we move on to something else? What is there to move on to? If there's something to move on to, you might as well move on to it. I've got nothing else. I want nothing else. Nothing else satisfies. Nothing. Nothing but Christ. Nothing but Christ. And number four, my point number four, what is it to eat then? If this bread endures forever, if Christ endures forever, and you say that he that eateth this bread shall not hunger, and everything will be satisfied between him and between you and God, what is it then to eat this bread? How do you eat it? How is it to eat? What is it to eat? The bread of life. It's not physical. It's not physical. We had the Lord's table last week, and if you ate that, I'm not going to save you. How do we know that this is not physical? Well, look at our text. Go back and look at this in verse 61 through 63 of John 6. Jesus said, does this offend you? He said, talking about eating His flesh and drinking His blood. Does this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. I'm talking about spiritual things, my friend. I'm talking about eternal things. Things that really matter. Everything in this life is perishing. Does it really matter? Does it really matter? Not in light of this. Eternal things. Spiritual things. It is a spiritual eating. It is not a physical eating. He explains that these words are spirit. The matter of eating and drinking the flesh and blood of the Son of God is spiritual. To eat is to believe, to come by faith to Christ. That's what it is to eat. When you eat a piece of bread, what happens to the bread? It becomes part of you, doesn't it? It unites with you. The minerals in the bread are extracted and they're used for energy and life. That's what happens when a person comes to Christ. He becomes their life. Their spiritual life. It is to come into union with Christ and to believe on Him as your only substitute, as your only standing before God Almighty. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Not faith itself, not faith in itself, but faith in its object. What is the object of your faith to stand before God? If it is Jesus Christ, you have a good standing. You have a great standing before God. If it's in what you do, or how you do it, or anything to do with you, you're lost and in your sins. You have no hope. You must come by faith. You must believe on the only begotten Son of God as your Savior and acceptance with God. If you have no life, and this world is still your prize and your aim, then you have no hope. If you have believed, then is there any other bread you want? If you've eaten of this bread, you know there's not. Notice this in verse 35. Verse 35, He that cometh. Verse 54 and 56, eateth. What is that? These are present perfect tense. This is telling us what Peter told us in 1 Peter 2:4, to whom coming as unto a living stone. When you come to Christ by faith, have you ever stopped coming? I'm coming to Him now. Right now. Right now. And I don't rely on faith I had 10 seconds ago to make it 10 seconds from now. I rely on the faith now. I believe now. Faith is present. It's never future and it's never past. It's always now. The question is not did you believe, do you believe? Now. Okay, how about now? How about now? What about now? Now, faith is now. It's present. Do you believe now? You see, I must ever eat this bread. I must ever come to this bread. I must ever believe on Jesus Christ as my only hope. Therefore, believer, feast on Christ now. Carpe diem, seize the day. Seize the moment. There's no prospect of tomorrow. There's no promise of tomorrow. Our plans are futile and fading. They're perishing. Don't rest on them. Believe on Christ now. Rest now and feast to your heart's content. He is the only one that satisfies. Number five. How can we believe? How can we eat? My friends, a man could stand and deliver the most eloquent message your heart has ever heard with words of sweet flowers and the melody, it rings in your ears. But my friends, if your faith is a work of that man or of you, it is not faith. You see, faith is a work of God. In order for me to eat, it must be a work of God. How do I know that? I'm going to go back to the Scriptures. Look back in verse 28. And they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the work of God? In other words, what can we do to labor to get that bread? They're still thinking physical, but what can they do? They want to know what it is that I can work the works of God. Jesus said, this is the work of God. In other words, it's not your work. This is a work of God. Faith is a work of God. If I had a rotten corpse sitting on this table here and I put a piece of bread beside him, he could never eat it without what? Without life. This is a work of God. This is a work of God. If you have faith, recognize this. It is a work of God. It is a work of the almighty hand of the divine providence and love and mercy of God. Therefore, He gets all the praise. He gets all the glory. This is a work of God that you believe on Him whom He has sent. Have you believed? If you have, to God be the glory. Great things He hath done. Great our rejoicing in who? In Jesus, God's Son. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer.